back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Segment two ahead, former Mayor Sheila Dixon, along with former Baltimore County Executive Dom. All of its leaders around here. Of course, Sheila running for mayor again. All of our candidates will be joining us on April 14th. Big shout out to State Fair and Moeller and Gary and all of our great sponsors. When we got right into the throes of like homelessness and quality of life and all that, but you really want to talk about systems of government and running government.
I want to talk about running government. I also want to talk about with former Mayor Sheila Dixon about how you got to where you are. One of the things we say is a recurring theme. We can probably eventually write a book on leadership after these interviews. We believe that who people were growing up, what their experiences were, what home was like, what school was like, really forms who they become as adults. So folks might know you as a public figure. Give them some insight into Sheila Dixon growing up, what you learned, what your neighborhood was like, and you know, how that led to who you are today.
So I grew up in West Baltimore. I'm a product of Baltimore City Public Schools. My parents were hardworking. My mother actually did not actually go to work until we were all in school. And this is in school full time. You know, back in my day, when I was very young, I grew up in the Garrison Boulevard area, Garrison off of Duval. That was our house where that I remember first. We used to come home for lunch. So when my mother went back, we used to come home for lunch, go back to school. When my mother was very active in the community. She was a Girl Scout leader. And I think that's kind of she was the model for me and getting involved in grassroots issues in our school as well as in the community. I learned all of my dancing and swimming in recreation and parks, you know, versus my kids went to the Y and I had to pay all this money for this and that.
What was that like for you as a girl in the summer? Because I remember I'm from Baltimore County, and I remember the summer program, man. The first day, every day they'd have something. We'd be going here, doing that, playing softball, playing baseball. You said Rex and Park. What was the Rex and Park experience for you as a child?
Well, the Rex and Park's experience for me was over at Cahill Camp Cahill, where it was a day camp where we went on trips, where I learned how to tap dance and even a little ballet, where we were very active in gymnastics. But we also had got exposed to that in school. And then, you know, when I was old enough to work, I used my grandmother's address on Gorman Avenue so I could get a summer job. And I worked at a camp where I was a camp counselor. And that was really the beginning of me really being involved, engaged with children and wanting to teach school. And so I've been always active. I used to set up food co-ops as part of my church at Bethel, where we started off where just members of our church pooled our money together, and we grew to over 1,000 members, and we had to move out of the church.
Well, Bethel's a legendary place, right?
It is a legendary place. We moved out of the church to a warehouse, and we were doing this like all over the city. I was very active in the women's ministry under Cecilia Bryant, which gave me my first experience. Let me back up a minute. When I graduated from high school, went to Towson State because they gave me money.
Was that Teachers College then, or was it already Towson State?
Towson State.
When did that?
When it changed from a Teachers College?
Well, I think if you was a teacher, so I think
it already changed.
Right, it already
switched. But Towson had a very excellent program for early childhood and child psychology, and that was the area that I wanted to go in undergrad. Besides that, they gave me money. I have to keep emphasizing that because I have to tell my kids they're blessed. You know, my parents couldn't afford to send us to college. So,
but you had to get grades to do that.
Yes. Not only grades to do that, but you had to be of a certain income too.
Sure.
You know, but so I have always been active in the community. You know, I did the things that kids did. You know, we rode our bikes out in the neighborhood. I ultimately ended up moving over to the Ashburton community where I think I was in junior high school at that time. I went to Garrison Junior High School. Then I took three buses to get to Northwestern High School.
That's a theme. Brandon Scott sat here six months ago and said he's the transfer here. Let's Mark to go to Mark. That's a theme of city kids.
It is.
And the reality of getting to school. Getting to school for me was the bus was on the corner and I got on and Dom was there waiting for
me. No. And I wanted to go to Northwestern. And then actually I connected. I had a hernia when I was in junior high before going to high school. And I had to go have an operation. It was a hospital on Charles Street, Upper Charles Street. I can't remember what it was. It was a small hospital. Now it's a nursing home. And I met this nurse who really fell in love with me and introduced me to her son. And they lived two blocks from me. And so he was my quote-unquote boyfriend, but he was really mainly my transportation to school.
And he probably helped you recuperate, too, right?
Sort of, but not really. When I graduated from high school, a lot of my friends went away to school outside of Baltimore and even outside the state of Maryland. And so I ended up connected with a person who I got involved in karate. And so I took karate for 17 years. I taught at Harlem Park while I was in college because I also had multiple jobs.
What belt are you?
I'm second degree black belt,
Shogun
Ryu, Okinawa style. And the group that I was trained under, Raleigh Hawkins and the Avengers, go back 60 years. Actually, Raleigh Hawkins taught Bruce Lee the backspin kick.
So and you wouldn't have had any trouble the other night when those folks ran on the stage to get the vice president. You would have gotten between that person and the vice president.
Possibly, because I stay very active.
I did
active.
Not know about that about you, the karate part.
And I'm an avid biker, but I've been biking since the early 70s. I still have my first 12-speed bike in my basement. When I left home and, of course, started working, my first apartment was at Temple Gardens, right by Drew Hill Park. And so I always said that Drew Hill Park was my background, was my playground. But I was always a biker around the city. At that time, you didn't have to have a helmet. Some people still don't wear a helmet. And I'm still active physically with biking and boxing and, you know. And when I got into public office, what happened was I was working actually with Pete Rollins on a person's campaign. That's how I met Pete Rollins, Delegate Pete Rollins.
Describe for folks, I mean, we always assume Pete's no, legend and revered Baltimore City elected official. Tell folks who Pete Rollins was.
Pete was the best. We met
Stephanie's dad, by the way.
Stephanie Rollins, Blake's dad, but we met doing a campaign for Anthony Robinson in the 5th District where there were three council people. And Pete had me be in charge of phone banking. And that was my beginning of learning how campaigns operate. And I remember I had a foot operation, and I had my foot operated on, and I was home phone banking. Pete and I became really close. He asked me to run on the Democratic State Central Committee in the 40th District because that's where I lived. And at that point, we became friends for life. And I'll never forget, even on his deathbed, the thing that he said to me was, he said, "Sheila, please take care of my daughter." And when Stephanie ran for President City Council, and it was a challenge, you know, our campaign stepped up and helped her. But Pete has always, Pete actually got me or helped me because I used to, some friends of ours, we went to Kenya and started an import-export business because I was trying to go into Peace Corps, and it was a waiting list. At that time, it was really popular in the 70s because I wanted to leave Baltimore. I wanted to travel the world. But I ended up having that experience. After I left teaching, I went to work for the state and worked 17 years in the international arena, working with businesses all over the state of Maryland, particularly in the Eastern Shore, Prince George's County, opened up the first office in South Africa. Was able to take companies overseas to trade shows. And when you talk about businesses, the thing that we have here in Baltimore, we have the infrastructure to be so successful.
We have a port.
Not only we have a port, we have technology companies. We have University of Maryland and the biotech and other industries where things have been created. Do you know that Bayer Aspen was discovered here in Baltimore?
I did not know that.
Yes, it was. But we have all the infrastructure to be a successful city in so many areas. But things are so disconnected. And that's why, part of why I got back into the race. Because you need someone not only with the vision, but be able to manage, but also be able to bring nonprofits, the business community, government together. Because we work in silos. Because when people say we don't have this, we don't have that, we do have it. but it's a matter of assessing what's working, what's not. Like when you mentioned THREAD, I believe that we need to bring all the mentoring programs together, assess what's working, assess what's not working, throw out what's not working, and expand what we have that are successful.
Well, let's take a look at a couple of those programs, because over the past year or so that we've been doing this program, a couple of things have jumped out. There are really, and you probably will be able to list more than I'm going to allude to, but there are programs really making a difference in this city. Let's take crime, an issue near and dear to your heart. Every time I read something about safe streets, it appears to be effective. I mean, they have data that shows that in these safe street zones, they'll point out, I think it was over in the Cherry Hill District in the safe street zone area, they went a year without a homicide in the safe street zone. They've had similar success in Park Heights. We know that programs like THREAD is up to over 700 young men and women that they've wrapped a family around with four volunteers.
By the way, you'll be happy. I was at Hippodrome last night. One of the people working with THREAD is dating my high school baseball buddy and came up and said, I saw the THREAD episode, so there you go. We're Baltimore Positive.
So
I'm running into people on the street.
Thanks to Sarah Heminger.
And Sarah started small and how she's expanded. And it's phenomenal.
A young girl, I always say, if you have not checked out the Baltimore Positive episodes with Sarah Heminger, go on BaltimorePositive.com. Listen to those three episodes. Because as former Mayor Sheila Dixon says, young girl arrives here 15 years ago from Indiana, as she openly says, because her boyfriend was going to the Naval Academy and she had to keep an eye on him. She had to get close to him. Starts THREAD, and here we are 15 years later, 700 and some lives transformed. So the question, Mayor, that Nestor asks all the time is, we have safe streets, we have THREAD, you'll list others. Why aren't we expanding them, supporting them, giving them the financial support that we throw at other crime issues? Why aren't we trying to get it on the front end?
Well, let me say this. Safe streets is something that Mayor Dixon brought to Baltimore.
You want to say that again? You want to remind people of that again?
Safe streets came as a result of Mayor Dixon.
What's that vision? Where did that come from? Did you borrow that from somewhere
else?
Yes,
we did.
Sure.
Because that's what you do. We went to Chicago. We went to Chicago. And actually, Antonio Hayes, who's now a senator who worked for me, was part of our team that helped in the various programs. But in the case of Safe Streets, it's working in some communities, but it's not working in others.
Why is
one
that?
One of the mistakes that's been made is it was taken out of the health department and run independently by a nonprofit organization. Now it's in City Hall. That is not where it needs to be.
Tell us how it should run. This is the stuff Nestor loves. How should it work?
You need to have it away from government because they can't be effective. Yes, we want to provide them with the resources, but they need to get to the root in those communities where you have these conflicts where they can really do their job. Having it politically in City Hall is not how it was created. And so
is that a problem? It's a public issue. Why privatize and say that's not a part of what the government's doing?
Because what happens is that the police have their role. The reason why we created Safe Streets is because those individuals who used to be a part of that market, that, you know, committing those crimes, shooting individuals, selling drugs, they can get the voice and go to those individuals who are out there in that arena and try to smooth over some of the conflicts that are going on. So knowing that they're connected to the city, which the city's connected with the police
department,
they feel that they can't trust them as much. And that's why they've always been kept. Yeah, they have to be monitored. We have to make sure that the monies that are going into this are being assessed and that they're getting results. But you need to kind of keep it away from the politics of what goes on every day in city government.
Well, trust is everything,
right? And that's why it was created.
You're hoping people trust you again and vote for you, right?
That's right.
And you're a trustee, and the word trust, I mean, if you're elected mayor again, which will be twice, April and November, because you'd have to win two elections, it would be because people trusted you, or the majority of people trust you. The trust that we have here between the police and the community, that's really at the core of everything that Stephanie dealt with and I'm dealing with in the aftermath. We're all dealing with here with Freddie Gray, right?
It is.
trust.
Well, let's pick up a man. I said so many.
So, but let me just quickly answer the other question.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I discuss this week, and I discuss it every time I'm on a candidate forum and everything else, and some people want to hear it and they don't want to hear it, is that we really need to bring all the groups and organizations that are out there, nonprofit entities, working with youth, working with crime, working with whatever it is, and really do an assessment to see how effective they are. Because in some cases, you might have this little program, but it really is not really making an impact. And so the question is, do we team them up with something like, say it's a mentoring program with Thread or another program that's having more effect in the community, and maximize that and put those resources, or do we just keep putting money into it just because, oh, I have this little program, and I'm not taking anything away from it.
Listen.
But whatever we're doing now is not working,
you're
right?
Preaching
or it's not working effectively enough.
And you're preaching to the choir, and when you talk about evaluating effectiveness, you actually talked about it in the last segment as well. Nestor talked about when Governor and Mayor O'Malley was on. He really gave a master class in data-driven government. You mentioned city stat, state stat. One of the things that I know others it went on and on. One of the things, it's dots on a map and how you use them to inform decision making. One of the things that, I apologize, I'm banging on the table. It drives Nestor crazy. I can't help it. One of the things that frustrates folks is that we appeared, and tell us what happened with City Stat under you, because certainly under Mayor O'Malley, and under the leadership of Matt Gallagher, it was up and running. It was deemed to be very effective, and it was improving. I believe, correct me, that you continued it. And somewhere along the way, it appears we've drifted away from using this kind of analysis. So tell us if my history is correct and what CityStat looks like under a Mayor Dixon.
Well, first of all, having a successful process in CityStat where we were able to bring in not only the agencies, but even state's attorney's office when we were dealing with gun stat and all of that. We had everybody at the table looking at, here's what the issue is. Here's what where we need to go. Here's the time frame we need to go there. How do we maximize? How do we do this collectively? Not come back month after month and talk about the same problems, but how do we track what we're doing on a regular basis financially as well as manpower? And I think it's a lot of work. And no offense, and I don't want to be disrespectful to any of my predecessors, but I think what happens is when you throw out and get rid of experienced people and bring in all new and not keep a balance, then they don't have a knowledge of how to operate that and bring in the right talent. And I think that's where it got lost. And it also means that you as the mayor have to make sure, that this is happening and that you're a part of that process.
It can't be hit or miss, right?
Well, I was going to say, it's got to be, to some degree, you know, you become the mayor again in November, you're going to hire deputies and staff and young people and try to get things exactly where you want it.
And bring old people back.
You know, we've talked to so many educators here and police. Harrison was here. The retention of young people, right? Like you hire, you train, and then they go work, then they leave. There's also that it is city government a job for life? And I think that's a question citizens should ask,
right?
I think
there's a balance. There are people who like working in government. And you don't take anything away from that, but you make sure that they're constantly growing and they are contributing and not just in a job and not making an impact. Everybody who works for the taxpayers has to know that I have to make an impact. From the guy that picks up that recycling, I'll give you an example. Tuesday night, the winds were so strong. We put our recycling out. I had a top on a container. By midnight, maybe about 3 in the morning, when I looked out the window, that recycling was everywhere. My son, he goes to Morgan before he left. He did pick up most of it. But, of course, no offense to guys, but he didn't pick it all up. So I was going to pick it up.
That's leadership, Sheila.
Right.
It's parenting. We're all working on that.
So I was going to pick up. I was going to pick up the stuff that was on the side when I was leaving to go to my meetings and to work. The guys who came to pick up the recycling actually picked up the trash that was flowing.
That's
all
their job,
over the
right?
Place. because that was their job.
So it's really about everyone in a Dixon administration. Love the discussion on city stat and data-driven government. Everybody's got to do their job, and you're going to keep tabs that everybody's doing their job. One of the things that Governor O'Malley alluded to is that you have to recognize up front that for the folks sitting on the other side of the table of a Mayor Dixon or a Mayor O'Malley who are having to come and present data, it can be uncomfortable, particularly if you're unprepared, right?
It can be, but the difference in Mayor O'Malley and Mayor Dixon and how we handled it is that I made sure that those individuals who were part of the process did not intimidate those individuals. We wanted it to be welcoming because we want them to be free that, hey, even if you messed up or you were on vacation and you didn't have a backup person, that was a challenge and an issue that we had to begin to address. So don't come in here and give me lies and information that you know is not factual. Let's deal with the fact. So I try to make it as welcoming as possible. That's why if you go through City Hall, even today, and people would talk off the record because they're not going to talk on the record, they will say that working under Mayor Dixon was a pleasure. She was respectful. You know, she inclusive.
Why won't they talk
inclusive.
On the record about that?
Well, because right now in this political arena, folks are a little stressed with one, you know.
I've had a lot of people say to me, business people, that's all I do. I like Sheila. I'm just not going to vote for her because but I like Sheila, you know, that you present pleasantly and that you led the city well. There are a lot of people here who just want something not new. That's scary. We have that in D.C. too, right? Someone who also doesn't know what they're doing, being elected. I think the record on you was you did manage the city well, and I think that's why are you back out here? What happened in the middle of the night that brought you back out here to say you're the person and it's not Brandon and it's not Drew or any of these other people?
Well, I drive around the city a lot based on what I do in my business and what I do with, you know, in every aspect of my life. Not only do I have people for the last how many years stop me and say, we need you back. You had things in order. Things were clean. Things were straight. Crime was going down. But aside from that, as I said in the beginning, when you have information and you know how things should be working and they're not, when I have to deal with my clients and I have to reach out to city government and say, you know, why isn't this company being paid or why is this issue going on with this company, and I get to run around, you know, and I don't.
Do you pay your water bill?
Yes, I pay.
Okay, and you get a water bill.
Yes, I get a water bill. And during
that's a whole max set.
And during the ransom, I went and estimated and paid, which was another issue because I thought they said you had to pay by money order, but then when I got down there. Oh, no, I thought they said you had to pay by check, but when I got down there, they said I had to pay by money order.
We talked to T.J. Smith. We ran into him at lunch just, you know, randomly 3 days ago, and he had a similar issue with malware that a lot of citizens last year had issues with the malware that are still sort of in the – that the next mayor is going to have to clean up, right?
So when we come back in the next – I'm trying to think. We're going to have to race through that next thing. We got opioids. We got transportation.
I want to talk crime. I
got
to talk crime.
We got vacant houses. We want to talk crime plans. We are with former mayor Sheila Dixon. She wants to be mayor again. We remind everyone, April 16th, early vote. April 28th, election day.
But most importantly, April 14th.
April 14th, a forum. You're going to want to be paying attention to Baltimore Positive. We're going to have all the mayoral candidates for a forum that morning right before the early vote. Nestor, democracy is not
a spectator sport. That's why we're rolling up the sleeves. We got former Mayor Sheila Dixon here. We're at Fadley's in Lexington Market, segment 3 of Baltimore Positive. Coming up next, we are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop telling great stories about Baltimore and talking leadership.